And we're back, Stir Ripe Show Podcast, on a Tuesday, Players Championship Week. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. And look at who is in the house, in the studio, straight from the press conference at TPC Sawgrass. Joining me in the studio, my man, Keith Stewart. How you doing, buddy?
I guess I'm doing better than Jay Monahan right now. I'm doing good. I raced over here after that and spent all morning at the course, and it looks impeccable. I cannot wait for this week.
It doesn't even look like a Florida golf course. It doesn't. I mean, it is. I was out there 3 weeks ago and it looked fantastic. The greens are healthy. They didn't, you know, they weren't cut down and like they're going to be this week. But you get that double overseed. I mean, it is green as can be. And it doesn't look like the different shades of green that you get in Florida that you saw a little bit at API, even the API fairways last week down there at Arnold Palmer. I thought, man, they look fantastic. But you could see it in the greens, which were just a conversation piece in itself, how fast those greens were last week. But yeah, it's in great shape. It's going to be a great tournament. I think the weather has been improving as we've gotten closer to this week, maybe a little bit of rain on the weekend. But the 50th anniversary Players Championship is set. Jay,
5-0.
Jay had a few words there in the press conference, and you know we heard what he had to say. I don't think, you know, I wasn't surprised that he didn't elaborate on where they're at with PIF, et cetera, et cetera. My question for you though is what was the mood in the room?
You know, we've touched upon this from the players' point of view, but I don't know if I've brought up the media's point of view, and maybe people don't care about their opinion, but when you sit in that room week after week like I do, and you get the sense that people are frustrated. Mm-hmm. So we talked before about the players, you know, the long shots winning because the big names are, you know, they're being treated like politicians, not players, right? Okay, mm-hmm. Fine. Scotty won last week. That's great. But the media needs something consistent to write about. Mm-hmm. And the storylines here are so wild all the time. At first, it's like, oh, wow, I've got something new to write about. It's not just like Victor changed his four iron or, you know, Tiger did the shaft in his driver or something, yeah. Right? But we got on 2 years now of having no idea what's happening next. Mm-hmm. And also, I think for a good part, we all don't like being in the dark.
Right.
And we're still in the dark.
Yeah.
So I get the sense back in August, people were patient, not just because Jay took the time off because of his health and everything, but I think people were patient because they were like, all right, we don't know yet, but you said it's going to be finished by 12/31. That didn't happen. We're 3 months after that. Now what's happening? So I sense there's the mood of the room is frustration. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more attacking. And I mean, you could hear it in the questions.
Yeah, you could.
You know, Jay, if this is all done in secret, you know, how can you earn the players' trust? I mean, that's
a fair question.
You know?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, like that's a super direct question. And I didn't witness those types of questions back in August. Mm-mm. Or even last year, even after the June 6th announcement, but we're getting them now. And guess what? If the gloves are off, right, someone's going to have to come up with some talking points that actually mean something rather than all of this, you know, election talk.
Well, the only thing that we hear is more money, more money, more money, right? And you can hear it in Jay's voice and talking about, you know, we can sense that people are frustrated about the amount of money, and it's always about that. Well, that's the only thing that's made available, right? That's the only information that is spoken about. Now, let's not forget, like the PGA Tour does a lot for charity. It still does week in and week out. Don't forget that. I mean, that is a huge driving force of the PGA Tour. And when you talk about legacy and you talk about the impact in these communities, it's there, folks. I mean, they've been doing this for years and years.
100%.
It's easy to overlook that. But with that said, and you look at the landscape of professional golf and live overpaying for players to come over and play, et cetera, and now the tour is trying to rally these signature events. I mean, that's the only thing we hear about. That's it. That's the public information. So there's fatigue there, and it shows in the numbers.
Oh,
unfortunately,
yeah.
it shows in the TV numbers. People are turned off by this. And so you better start, if you say you care about the fans and you want to speak them to directly, well, you better start coming up with some real talking points that speak to the fans to start winning them back over to watch events, because golf is booming. I can tell you in the studio, I mean, we've already had a junior camp in here with kids running around and learning the game. We've got TruSpec in the backdrop doing a club fitting right now. And tonight we have a party, you know, and people in town and want to rally around golf and come in and have a good time. And I can tell you right now, if you're trying to get a tee time over the next couple of weeks here in Ponte Vedra, forget it. I mean, these courses are packed with people playing golf. So I don't want to kick that down the road too much. But yeah, I put me in that category, Keith. I'm frustrated. And, you know, I just watch that. I watch that press conference and I come away perhaps even a little more frustrated. I am. That's just the way I feel. I feel even a little more frustrated coming away from that from that press conference with Jay. But let's hope the players delivers, because last week API did.
Absolutely.
I thought API did. The big boys are starting to show up. We've talked in great length about the long shots winning up to this point. Jay talked about it, of course, with Jake Knapp and Pavon and Dunlop, the amateur winning early in the year out on the West Coast. But last week, my man, guess what happened? What did I tell you? What club did I tell you was going to wake up at API and he was going to get back to the winner's circle and win by a big margin? And that's what happened. Scottie Scheffler plus 4.3 strokes gained putting last week with the mallet putter, his best putting performance in the last 2 years since API, where he was positive 4.3. I guess he can putt those greens.
Which is interesting because they're far more challenging than this week.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, historically two types of people win here. You've got your Cam Smith or your Scotties. So you get your ball strikers who just putt even and then they win because they keep the ball in play and they don't hit the eject button at any point during the four rounds. And then you get guys like Cam Smith that hit all over the place, but they chip and putt the heck out of the ball, you know? Yeah, I was happy to see that for Scotty. And you know, you were 100% right. Great first click. The only thing I would say in all of that, that little soliloquy there, you perfectly encapsulated the feel of the media, everything else. It's just that Scotty's putter did not wake up. He has a new one. The old one's still dead, right? But the new one
that's
is
right.
Hot.
Yeah.
And so it begs the question then, right? Before, as we jump into this, the start, you said this is the 50th edition.
Mm-hmm.
So in 49 previous, we've never had someone defend.
That's right.
And in fact, there's only been a couple guys that have done it twice, and no one's done it within 6 years of one another. I mean, like, I think Elkington was like 17 years apart. So, like, right back at you. Not a first click. We don't need to go there yet. Yeah. But right back at you. You got the field, or you got – this is not a betting question. Because I'll never first click anybody under 10 to 1.
Right.
That's just –
No, whoa.
I'm not. Unless it's, you know, I'm not going to first click somebody under that.
I needed to win.
Again, we texted about this, right? Your card only had three names on it.
Yep.
Right? Scotty being one of them. The other ones were longer, right? Seabez, and I forget who the other person was, but like you can do that and get away with it.
Yeah.
No one's catching up from 8 weeks off with Scotty, but if you wanted to get a win. That was a great call. You know, I thought Rory would play better than Scotty there, and Rory didn't show up. So, but just real quick, Scotty this week, yes or no? Field or Scheffler to break the streak in the 50th year and defend?
Just too hard to do. It's just too hard to do. And I know he's a defending champion, was 17 under. And look, the putter, when he putts like that, you're not going to beat him. And I thought Shane Lowry was perfect. I love Shane Lowry. That's the kind of humility that I think PGA Tour leadership needs, is what Shane Lowry demonstrates, is that, you know, look, when Scotty plays like that, I'm not even sure if I'm in the conversation that can play with him. I don't think I have that kind of game, you know, I mean, and you look at Scotty go, I mean, plus 4.3 putting, the way he hits it tee to green, he's going to put you away. I don't care where he's playing. So
bury it.
Now, can he do that again this week? Of course he can. I mean, he can come in here and keep the momentum going, but I'm taking the field. If you're giving me the field over Scotty Scheffler, you brought up Rory as we kind of get into a few talking points here. Rory's got this left miss going. And it's a problem. I tell you, that guy is as impressive as he is. And we give him a lot of credit. He's the best driver in the world when he gets it going.
Bar none.
But when he starts hitting that rope hook with his irons, and he did it on the par five three times during the week. Yes, it's technical, but with Rory, it's just these mental lapses. I mean, why are we continuing to see these just shots that you would see from like a 10, 12 handicap all of a sudden.
I'll tell you why.
From Rory McIlroy. Tell me why. And I'm going to fix this computer screen while you do that. Go ahead.
All right.
I wish you asked me a question with a longer answer. He's thinking about Magnolia Lane. That's what it comes down to. It's that time of year, right? And he is 100% already thinking about what he needs to do to get around Augusta and complete the career Grand Slam. He said in a press conference, what, like down there at Cognizant? Said, yeah, if I won my green jacket, maybe I'd walk away too. I mean, it's just that simple. He's got that on the brain, and he cannot get rid of it. And
I don't know.
You're
telling me at that point in time, standing in five, second shot, 230, pins back left, that he's like,
yeah, no, not in the moment.
Okay.
But the overarching theme of this time of year for him is everyone's asking him about Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's asking him about Augusta.
I think it's more than that. I think it's more than that. It's just these lapses that we see with Rory. I mean, it's like the guy can do things with a driver no one else can do. He hits these towering long irons, and all of a sudden he's got a six iron in his hand, and it starts left, goes left, double bogey.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mind-boggling. It's frustrating because, you know, I wanted Rory to continue. I want to see Rory up there with Scheffler. I want to see that this week.
That would be pretty
good. I want to see Willis Zalatoris continue to play like he is. I mean, I want to see these names continue to bubble up. And look, I'm not discounting the Jake Knapps of the world. His coach is going to be here tonight, John Ortega. I can't wait to meet the guy. He's a legend in California. Had him on the podcast. He's coming out and traveling a little bit with Jake. I mean, it's just a great story all the way through and through.
I saw those guys on the range today.
Did you? Yeah. I mean, it's just awesome. I mean, it's just cool.
A lot of people stop.
Oh, you should.
And look at that.
You should.
They do. Yeah. You know, I can akin it to the Bryson phenomenon when Bryson was out there bulking up and people were like, all right, this is something I need to see. It's because it's different.
That's right. It's long. It's fluid. It's rhythmical.
It's like Freddie.
It's like Freddie, but with long hair.
Like even when Ernie was at his best, and he was easy, mm-hmm. but Ernie was still stable and kind of, you know, rigid in his arms and in the shaft and in the, you know, the angles.
Yeah.
Like Freddie and Jake Knapp have this kind of like fluidity. It's so syrupy.
It is.
You know, I mean, I love it.
All right. You ready? First look.
Let's get into it.
Players Championship. Let's real quick about the course. Then we'll get into the first look.
Okay.
Of course, TPC Sawgrass. Everybody, if you don't know TPC Sawgrass by now and the way that it's marketed, you're probably, if you're watching the show, you've been hiding under a rock at this point.
It's a big rock.
The stadium course, Pete Dye, and it's legendary. Not real long, just under 7,200 yards. We talked about the conditions, double overseed. I mean, it's in perfect shape right now. I've played the course many, many times. I was director of instruction at TPC Sawgrass for 9 years. And so I've been at this place many, many times. I've played it. I just played it three, four weeks ago. When I think of Sawgrass, it's not quite the same Sawgrass as it was when I got here 23 years ago. Because I always thought like that, the old gnarly Bermuda, I mean, it was nasty.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I always tell people, I was like, you're going to have the hardest 8-yard shots of your life.
Yeah.
Like you have to hit the ball 8 yards and you're just like, how? You're just look at that line and you're look, wind's blowing.
Oh yeah.
But it's not quite that, you know, it's a little different now with the grass and the way that they can grow it down here in Florida. But when I think of TPC, I think of visual intimidation. There are so many holes, you stand on the tee and it's intimidating. And I could go through a bunch of them. It's intimidating. 18 obviously comes to mind. 17 comes to mind. But let me tell you something. You stand on five, it's intimidating.
So I'm glad you brought up five.
Yep.
Because there's a reason why I would call it, I've played it a bunch of times mm-hmm. myself, I would call it the most visually intimidating golf course I've ever seen off the tee.
Yeah, it is.
And the reason being is that, and Dye has said this on several occasions, five is a perfect example of that. He dropped the fairway, so you can't see it from the tee.
That's right.
And all you see is sand, water, and hills. Mm-hmm. And all you see is trouble. And he does it time and time and time again, you know, or it's like 18 and the water is just present. Just don't go left. That's Travis, right. Just don't go left.
Right. 14. But, 14 is intimidating.
Oh,
I mean, 14, you stand there and you're like, man, I mean, you got to step up. You got to step up and you got to make a big boy swing. You have to. There's nowhere to go. You have to step up and make a good swing on five, on 14, on 18, obviously on 17 when it comes down the stretch on, you know, so there's just so many shots on that. The second is, I think it's collectively the best, the four best par fives collectively. I love the par fives. Fantastic. Fantastic par fives. And I think one of my favorite holes in all professional golf is number four.
Number four.
370 yards. You know, the fairway slopes away from you. So you can kind of bite it off, but if you pull it, you're in the rough. If you push it, you're in the bunker. The green is just, it's sick.
It's maniacal.
Oh, it's so good.
Some might say diabolical.
Oh, it's so good. Number four green is so good.
It's good.
And I'm telling you something. I don't know this for sure, but I bet you Tiger Woods' stroke average on number four is 5.3.
Yeah.
Over the years. That dude has double bogeyed number four more than anybody. I've watched it over the years. And it's, you step up, it's just, you're just flicking iron down there. Okay, you want to hit your three wood? The wind's in your face all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those guys are so stubborn, though. All they do is aim at the target. They never hit away from the target. I don't care what they say in the media. Like, they just do it all day long. Mm-hmm. All day long. And
four is just beautiful. Four is beautiful. Yeah, five, and then you go five, good. You know, and then six is okay. You got to make some hay on six, depending on the wind on seven. And then eight is the big boy par three. And then nine, all right.
Nine's the one hole they changed this year.
Yeah, nine.
I think they added 20 yards. 603 now.
It is, yeah. So they needed to. If that one's pushing down, and nine's just great too. I mean, I love it. 10, you got to make your birdies on 10, 11, and 12. You got to make some hay through there.
Yeah.
You know, and then 13, all right, depending where the pin is, 14's hang on, 15, hang on, 16, make your birdie, and then 17, 18, don't make double.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's there's a lot of similarities to Arnold in that you can make a double just like that.
Oh, there's no course where the eject button sits closer to the steering wheel. There's no course other than TPC Sawgrass. I mean, we've had a preview the last 2 weeks, but the only thing I'll add to that, I'll throw a couple quick PSAs.
Number one,
if you are betting this week or DFS, pay attention to the timeline. And so I'm going to throw it out there. From 2007 to 2018, we played in May. This is not May. No. This is March. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at data, you don't need anything before 06. You just need the data from 19 through 23.
That's right.
And if you look at the winners in that range, who do we have? You know, back to back, we got Rory, JT, Cam Smith, and then Scotty. Four major champions.
Not too shabby.
Right? Okay. Average winning score, 15 under par. But at the end of the day, pay attention. Do not be looking at data analysis, strokes gained, anything from 2018 earlier, because it's not representative of the golf course. You talk about that gnarly Bermuda.
Yeah.
The Mother's Day version actually plays harder than the March version. Everyone always complains about the weather, but the agronomy is so much more predictable for those guys that they can get it around better. And yeah, they've had some bad weather the last couple of years in March, but like it's easier for them to compete with the Ryegrass Overseed and the Poa Trivialis, which almost putts like bent.
Yep.
The second thing I'll say is that everyone focuses on those range bucket or those ranges of approach buckets. Everyone's talking about 40% of the shots come from 75 to 150 yards. So be a good wedge player. Got news for you folks. I say this all the time. Everybody on the PGA Tour is a good wedge player. And if you're there on Sunday, you're having a good wedge week, right? I look deep at where the buckets break down as far as where they gain the most on the field. And at this place, it's over 200 yards. And why? Okay. Those par fives you mentioned so eloquently, right? Those second shots in there, number eight's another one. You talk about some of these par fours, like 18, 11's the par five, but like these 14, they have shots that are around 200 yards. You make a par or birdie there, you're going to gain an edge on the field. And that's what you need to do. And the third PSA I'll give out is that the winners last 4 years, but for a long time, they've gained more around the green on the field than they have off the tee.
Interesting.
This is one of those chess-like places where they're just going to put it out there in play. So you're not going to see a lot of gains there. That's what it means, right? But around the green, remember Scheffler last year on eight, you know, kind of that kind of launched the momentum of his final round. He chips in, you know, you go all the way back to Craig Perks chipping in order to win, you know. Mm-hmm. Short game has always been a factor here. And that's something that those are the three things I pay attention to.
I've eliminated a couple people for that very stat right there. I think that's a great stat. All right, let's get into it. First look, you're going to go first.
Give me the mouse. I'm clicking on
Mad Max Homa.
Okay, I stole his guy, by the way, which I'm going to give you because we've been. But anyway, I'll let you. So just for the record, you're going. But you were going Max.
I go Max. Okay, yeah, I go Max. Yeah. But for once, I'll be in full support of your guy, because I think that
we should be now, because you've been humbled last week after I told you exactly what was going to happen. Wow.
Yeah.
Tell me why Max. Why Max?
A couple reasons.
Okay.
First is that he's one of four guys that's finished in the top 25 the last 2 years here at the Players. Mm-hmm. All right. Four guys have done it. It's not Rory, not Scotty. The last 2 years in the top 25. All right. Russell Henley, Adam Hadwin, Victor Hovland, who had two top tens, and Max Homa. All last names with an H. I don't know what's going on there, but Max Homa doesn't hit the eject button here. He's had three good years in a row here, and that's what you got to be careful of. If you go look up that top of the betting board, which is where this winner is going to come from, all of these guys at some point, I mean, Rory wins, he misses the cut. You know, they you know, Cantley, Xander, there's a lot of guys. Spieth barely made. He hit the fan next to me last year in order just to make the cut for the weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's just, this place is extremely unpredictable. So if a guy is playing well and Max is chipping and putting really, really well, and he continues to get a little bit better with his ball striking every week since I saw him in the desert, and I thought there was kind of, it wasn't as good as we thought it was at the start of the season. Remember Pebble, he kind of faded off and we all loved him at Pebble, right? But he's been building his way back, right?
I did love him at Pebble.
I loved him at Pebble.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there was 66. Good reason to love him there.
Yeah.
But no, but the point being is that I like where Max is at, and he's shown consistency here. You've got to pick somebody who's consistent here.
Well, see, I don't know. I think Max, and this is what I like to do, is shoot holes. And some weeks it's easier than others with your picks.
Yeah, sure.
But this week it's easy.
All right.
Because Max is not hitting it anywhere near as good as he was the last 2 years coming in. Now, 13th and 6th the last 2 years. And he likes his place. I think it's a grinder's place. Max is a grinder. He grinded last week to finish 8th, but he putted the lights out, positive 5.5, one of the best in the field. His ball striking has been mediocre. I think he's fighting his driver. And I think his irons are not as good as they have been the last 2 years coming in. Now, maybe he's trending. Maybe he can find it again this week. And if he does, he better, because if he doesn't, he's got no chance to beat Scheffler. Zero.
Oh, well, I mean, there's only one guy from a ball striking perspective that can even come close to Scheffler.
Ooh, I think you might be just a nice little segue into my guy.
That's it. It's okay. Only one guy.
Okay.
That's why I like him too, because there's only one guy that can literally keep up with him striking that golf ball.
All right. And so that guy is my first take, or first look, I should say. And that's Will Zalatoris. And when I texted it in full transparency, that was Keith's Will. We both like Will this week. And I've liked Will. I picked him. You said Will or Cam Young, Wake Forest connection last week. I said Will, for sure. I mean, Will is on his way back. He is ahead of schedule. I've been texting with his coaches over the last 24 hours. And this dude's, I mean, he is sailing right now.
Oh, yeah.
The putter, it's not a weakness. It's becoming a strength. Now, in full. Okay, let me just take that back. I got to look excited. I'm not going to say, I'm not ready to say strength. Although the last 3 weeks, he's been positive 1.9, 2.3, and 1.3 strokes.
Probably never happened since he was a junior.
Well, let's see. I mean, he actually putted pretty good before he went down at the beginning of 23. He was actually on a decent stretch. I think he was struggling with the shorter ones, but he was making some of the mid-range and longer ones. So Will's putter is on its way back. How about that? Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I don't see the tremors. 100%. I think he got a little defensive with his speed down the stretch. I think it's been a while since he's probably been in that situation. He was feeling the heat. And so, it was different. It wasn't the tremor, you know, that we would see from short distance. Yeah. It was more just, I think,
speed control
kind of, you know, babying it up there a little bit. Right. Yeah. And so I think that will continue to improve, but his ball striking is fantastic. His driver is the real deal, and his irons, forget it. Don't worry about it. His irons will be there. And I think his short game is good enough the work that he does with Gregory. I thought he hit some really, really good short game shots last week. I really did. I was impressed.
He pitches the ball really good. He pitches it really good.
And so I have absolutely zero doubt that Will Zalatoris will be in the same situation come the weekend again in Ponte Vedra than he did last week, than that he was last week. Difference being, got the juices going last week. Yep. I don't think he handled the best with his putter. I think he would admit that. Learn from it. He's been there before. Will Zalatoris wins the Players' Championship.
So there was a moment on Saturday where Will was up by five, mm-hmm. and he ended the day down two.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Huge swing. Huge right. swing.
Yeah.
I think that's a positive. I mean, not in the moment, but the week after.
Sure.
I think he'll learn from that.
No doubt.
I think he was definitely racing there a little bit, got a little ahead of himself, and he really couldn't, you know, couldn't ratchet it back in. He couldn't, like, go back to, like, the country club, you know, at the U.S. Open against Fitz. Like, he couldn't go back to some of those memories that, like, where he stayed steady. But I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'd see it. I've seen it a couple weeks out here now, you know, like, live. It's a stripe show. You know, pardon the pun. I mean, it's like lasers,
It's so good.
It's really good.
And his putter is becoming really a strength. It's becoming a strength. He has a lot of confidence with it. You can see it. Get his speed control down. Now, he hasn't putted great here from short distance over the years, but he hadn't putted great from short distance, I don't think, anywhere for years. So I'm willing to rule that out. I'm excited for Will. And I think it'd be phenomenal for him to get into the winner's circle and win this thing for the tour. And I think he'll be there come Sunday. Now, let's go to before I let you drive, which is what we do here next. I do want to spend just a couple minutes at the top of the board before I let you take the steering wheel.
All right. What we got?
So Victor Hovland, right, who's played okay here over the last couple of years.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And
just mentioned him. Two back-to-back top tens.
Two back-to-back top tens. He's 25-1. And I love Vic, you know, I do. I got to play with him at API back in 2019, right before he finished pro in the pro-am there. And he's a great young man. He is. He's a deep thinker. He's obviously one of the best players in the world. And I got to thinking, since that picture, there it is right there. You can see it. Since that picture right there, see it there over there in the corner?
Me and Vic? Yeah.
I can see it. I shot like 89 and he was like 3 or 4. It wasn't that bad, but.
Probably felt like.
Yeah, you know. I did. Well, actually, we were looking for our golf balls all the time while he was sitting in the middle of the fairway all day.
Yeah.
And
good times for him.
And so since that picture in 2019, he's had 7 coaches. 7.
Yeah.
Now, I think, and all these coaches that he had are great minds. And so none of this is a yay or nay to any coach. It's just the fact that he's had 7 coaches since 2019 is just alarming to me. And to this point, 6 PGA Tour wins. It's like, hey, Travis, it's working. Let the kid do what he wants to do. He's a deep thinker, this and that. Yeah. It's like, okay, great. But man, you know, here's a guy that the short game work that he put in at the end of last year wins the tour championship. The guy looked like he had went to the next level. And now to come back out and leave him and you know, and now his short game hasn't been as clean. And now he's working with someone else all of a sudden. And, you know, how serious is that? I don't know. I don't know any of that. All these people are great. I'm not getting into that. But just the fact that you're going to make a change, right? And now this is 7. It's alarming to me, Keith. It's alarming. I hate to see this on such a talented young man who, let's face it, I don't think needs a ton of help.
No.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like no. I think he needed some help with his short game and he got it.
Hey.
And Joe Mayo did a good job. He got it.
Yeah.
And you could see the drastic improvement, but then all of a sudden, well, now that's gone. I don't know, man. It just, these decisions drive me freaking nuts with players. It drives me nuts.
Had his press conference been before our show last week, I would have said it like I said on a different show, right? Do not bet Hovland. Do not bet Scheffler. Or not Scheffler. I'm Schauffele. Because both of them in the press conference said, I'm working with new coaches and I'm not happy with where my game's at. Well, guess what? You know, maybe they catch lightning in a bottle at some birdie fest somewhere, but it's not going to happen at API. It's not going to happen here.
No.
Right? And
what did we say about Xander at the start of the year, both of us?
We both said it.
You said Scheffler was going to win five times.
I did.
You've got once.
Okay.
And I said the biggest disappointment of the year, or the person I thought out of, that was going to fall out of the top 10 in the world ranking was going to be Xander.
Yeah, and I agreed. I didn't like what I was seeing from Xander either. And so I think both of those are tracking. I'm glad we finally got one of the wins, but even there, I still feel pretty comfy about five after I saw that.
I just
that putter.
Like, but I mean, he's not going to win three majors. And how many more times is he going to play?
He didn't have to play four more times. All he probably got to play to win five. The way that dude hits it.
Well, if he's putting like that, it's game over.
Well, there's Xander 22, Victor 25. So we're not
Victor
betting.
Victor a week ago was 14.
I mean, do you trust Rory and JT here? I mean, you see the inconsistency still there with those two.
I trust JT more than Rory. Because Rory's shown it over the years. The driver's mitigated here big time. And that you take away his biggest strength. Like last week should have been a coronation, right? He was first in the field in driver by a wide margin, right? And he got beat by, he was, what, 21st? So where'd that end up behind? 15 under, 21st. So he lost by 14 shots.
Yeah.
Two touchdowns. So
look at this thing, by the way.
So
it looks like you're about ready to land a spaceship with
that. Oh, man. Huh? This is, so I'm always out on the road and I've got this, I got multiple monitors at home that I'm looking at all the time because I'm writing in the center or creating in the center. And then I need to look at tables and charts and different videos and things like that. So
all right, so we'll drive the ship. What does that thing say? Give us, like, you're ready to deliver a sermon.
Well, I mean,
what do you got for drive the ship? I got some questions for you, by the way, coming up.
All right, so let's just get the people of interest.
Okay,
so after we get done with Will, the next kind of echelon of people that are in there that we're going to ask questions about are going to be your Sam Burns, your Shane Lowry, your Russell Henleys, guys in that range. And there's a guy right around there. After we get past the Cantleys and the Xanders and the Jordans of the world, I think you got to pay attention to Hideki. And I'm going to say this.
Too. I agree.
I'm going to say this emphatically, but the last six winners of this event in the event prior finished T22 or better.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot find your game at the Players. You have to come in playing well.
Right.
And there's no doubt that Hideki's playing well.
Mm-hmm.
But the only question mark in my mind is, like, is his arm hurt or is his neck hurt or something? Or does he just do that stuff because he's like Bill Belichick of golf and he's just, like, you know, questionable on the injury report? I don't know. But, like, for me, everybody forgets in 2020 when we paused the world, that guy came out in the first round and shot 63. He's got a good history here.
He does.
And if you look at what he does, his ball striking could go after Scotty right now, and he's an average putter like Scotty, right?
And he's really crafty with the short game.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just
totally underrated.
I've said it many times. One of the most underrated short game players in the game.
Totally. So as we want to break through this and get into some more, you know, fun stuff about being together here this week, you know, in that 30s range, I'm getting away from the Burns and the Lowry conversation, and I'm getting into the Hideki conversation.
I don't think Burns' short game is good enough for here. You know, I think you've got his short game. I keep waiting for it to, you know, crest, you know, get up to the rest of his game. Because you know how I feel about Burns, and when his driver's on, we know his irons. The guy can putt the daylights out, and I think Burns is a. He's not a great player yet, you know, with some of these other names like Rory. He's not in that conversation with Scheffler and those guys, but we know he's that next tier down where he can win. We've seen it. And I think for him to get to that next level, he's got to show the ability to get to have those tough up and downs, you know, and get his short game, I think, a little bit better than what it is right now. So I'm going to pass there.
Which is interesting because he makes a ton of birdies.
Oh,
ton of birdies.
He does. He does.
A ton of birdies.
But you look at his stats. I mean, look at a stroke. I'm sure. I mean, when's the last time he finished in the green? It's been months.
I'm not all right. Like I said.
And I think your point's well
in
taken.
That range,
short game over driver. I think it's well taken.
Yes. Yeah. Here. 100%.
I think it's. I it's part of my equation here. And the other part of it you hit on the head was having some form coming in. So I am all in on Hideki. I'm all in Hideki. And I know Wyndham Clark hasn't had the best record here. DQ cut 27. But let me tell you something. Speaking about elevating your game, Wyndham Clark's a different player, folks, right now than he was during this stretch. This boy is a different player.
I've seen this path before, Travis. It reminds me of a young Brooks Koepka.
With Wyndham?
He's becoming a big game hunter, man.
Okay.
Right?
Wow. And he's not afraid to put it out there either.
Oh, no.
He's not afraid to talk now.
I mean, you want to talk about only open up your mouth to change feet. This boy, he gets it done. Like, but that being said, you know, I go back to last week where he's like, yeah, let's make it less people. Right. But my point with he is showing up in these bigger events.
There's no doubt.
And when he limits the distractions and all of that, this guy, I mean, you got to pay attention to him, mm-hmm. you know,
and he can go nuclear with his putter.
So the weakest part of his game is approach. So like Burns with the driver, when you see Wyndham start to hit the ball good with his irons, he's going to win.
Yep.
And I think he's going to win in bunches. So I feel like,
I mean, iron wise, he checks the boxes the last four times we've seen him.
Yes.
His driver was phenomenal at AT&T. His putter was.
Driver's always above average.
Yeah.
The putter and the short game is extraordinarily good. It's the iron game where, you know, when he finishes top 20 or, you know, kind of has a.
I'm in on Wyndham. I am.
I like Wyndham.
I'm in on Wyndham. I'm in on Hideki. And he's got some swagger to him, even though it's like, you know, like at the Ryder Cup, he's talking this and that. People in the back are like waving their arms like, stop talking.
Yeah.
You know, stop.
Oh, yeah.
And he just keeps going. And, you know, and then this, you know, about the fields being, we should have 100 guys. He's not afraid to put it out there. And
a little deeper right there.
He's a confident dude. Yeah.
A little deeper right there on the board. A guy that I watched hit balls this morning, right?
He's let me guess.
A guy, okay, I'll give you one hint.
Okay.
After Scheffler last week, nobody hit it better, tee to green, than this guy.
Is it Harmon?
Nope. Nobody hit it better than this guy. Hmm. And he putted atrociously, but he's been known to do that.
Who is it?
He's a past champion here.
Ooh. Webb?
No. Oh, Webb. What past are we talking champion. About, Webb?
Yep. Well, I've got it written down here. You got Rory.
Yep.
You got Webb.
Yep.
You got, see, this is now where I'm scrambling here a little
bit. Come on.
Bit.
No, wait, hang on.
Adam Scott.
You know, Adam Scott, I saw him again this morning. I mean, he didn't show up
here. God, he was like,
it's a 20th.
He was like 12 years old when he won here.
20th anniversary.
Yeah.
You know, if the world is round. He was disappointing last week. That should have really suited him well. He's been hitting it good.
I'll never forget that time. That never when he hit that ball in the water in 18.
Oh,
I was standing right there in the hospitality suite.
Right. Steering wheel, eject button.
Oh my goodness.
Right there. Right next to it. I mean, guys do it all the time.
No one could believe it.
We see it all the time.
Who is it? Tell me who did you see there hitting balls?
Oh, this morning it was Stripe Show. Siwoo.
Oh, Siwoo. God.
Siwoo, you look at his numbers. From Bay Hill last week, right? He gains like 2.25 tee to green,
mm-hmm.
right? Like 2.1, definitely over 2 approach and off the tee, and he loses 2 with the putter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame that we didn't have cameras on him more often, but because I'm sure that was entertaining for everyone. But I feel like maybe that wasn't a comfortable place for him, and this is a comfortable place for him. Okay. And you don't have to be a great putter. You have to be a good lag putter around here because, you know, the greens, you know, that they have these sections to them, and there's big, like, kind of swales in between and cliffs and things. But Siwoo in that area, I mean, everyone's talking about Minwoo Lee or Brian Harmon or maybe Tommy Fleetwood or something like that. But, like, Siwoo won here, and he hit it so good last week. Saw him on the range last week. I was like, man, this guy's hitting it good. And then I saw him this morning. He was right next to your boy, Jake Knapp, hitting balls this morning. And, I mean, the noise and like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can hit it. There's no doubt. That's a good find. That's a really good pick, I think, down there in that 45-50-1 range. And you mentioned Tommy Fleetwood. You know, you go through the stats the last 5 years, Keith. Yep. And strokes gained total. There's two names up top there in the last 5 years. One of them's Tommy Fleetwood, and the other's Keegan Bradley.
So last 5 years?
Yeah, that's what I see.
Wow.
Yeah, it's Fleetwood.
No, I believe you.
It's just Fleetwood and Bradley.
I'm just surprised that
I know. I kept
not by Fleetwood because I know he's had some top tens and top 20s here, right?
As good as Siwoo hit it last week, Fleetwood equally hit it as bad on the other side, if not worse.
Yeah, but that gets skewed because he made the 12 or whatever.
But there's something wrong with Fleetwood. There's something, he's fighting it right now in every way. He's fighting it. And so Fleetwood, Bradley, who do you got? We'd like to play this game. You pick one or the other. There's two guys that have played great here over the years.
Bradley missed the cut at Genesis. He was okay last week, but he's a top 20 machine here. Fleetwood's been a top 20 machine here. Does the history bring him back, or is it just eject them because they're not hitting it good? Keegan.
Yeah, I agree.
Keegan. I think Keegan overall just keeps the ball in play.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what's made him so good over the years as a player, is that even when he had all those struggles with the putter, the guy just doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He just accrues a lot of stats, you know? I mean, meaning fairways and greens, and that's always going to keep you in it.
Is Thagala a good enough iron player to compete here?
So, next name on my list.
Oh!
Okay.
On the list or one of these five computer screens you got here?
No. Next name I was going to talk about.
Okay.
Sahith Thagala.
Take it.
Or however. Okay. He did the walk and talk the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And my big question mark with him has always been the driver. And he figured out a way to hit this little punch cut, low tee.
Mm.
And he said he's been using it. And the way he spoke about it, you could tell, because you talked to a lot of great players. I've talked to a lot of great players. When they really like something, you can tell. Like a kid with a toy, you know, like, Dad, I really like my Legos. Like, I know you do. Okay, right? But like, he has found something with his driver. And I think if we're going to get a Cam Smith style winner this year, he's hitting it good enough right now with his ball striking to find the fairway. Good wedge player, right?
Great short game.
Great short game and can putt the lights out.
He can.
So in that range, I mean, in that range, now we're talking in a range where you've got guys like Matt Fitzpatrick. You've got
who's fighting it right now.
You want to go after Ben Ahn. You want to go after Tom Hoagie. I mean, of those guys, from what you've seen the last month, who do we want to go there? I mean, Sungjae's sitting there. Aaron Rye. Hey, where's the door? Aaron Rye is not walking through that door.
No.
Right?
No.
But something about the way that Sahith embraced that walk and talk the other day really kind of caught my eye. And then I just started looking deep at the numbers this week. And I said, you know what? That could be that guy that comes out of the middle that nobody sees coming. And with the way he can putt and chip, he'll do a lot of scoring. And in the place where you separate here, you're right. Fantastic set of par fives.
Yep.
Right. Challenging set of par threes. You know, they'll balance each other out. You got those 10 par fours and they're super varied. And you've got to be able to score on those. And he can do it with that putter, you know? And that's, for me, it's, I love him in that spot.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's an interesting name this week. I really do. And now you've really got
super interesting.
Now you've got me really jazzed up about it because of this. And you spoke so eloquent about it, this bullet fade. Usually when I hit the bullet fade, it's off the heel. And it always goes straight, but it's by, you know, 15, 20 yards shorter.
8,000 RPM.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I could hit it on the heel every time, I probably hit every fairway with my path coming from in to out.
Yeah.
Bullet fade is fun. All right. So I'm just going to have some fun here. Last 5 years, strokes gained total. We already talked about Fleetwood Bradley. There's JT, the winner back in 21. Jason Day has done well here. Justin Rose, who I think's fighting it. Hoagie, Lowry.
Looks like Rose was spending some time with Foley this morning.
Was he?
He was.
Was he?
And I thought he was a Blackburn.
He was. I didn't know that.
Maybe he's challenging.
Breaking news. Pablo breaking news.
No, back no, no, with no. Sean. Okay. They were just talking.
All right.
And then Rose started making some swings. I don't know. I'm not.
There's your boy Homa, 6th and 13th. Matsuyama has played well here. Webb Simpson, Corey Connors. It's good to see Sungjae just actually show his face last week, right? Sungjae, hey, thanks for showing up on the PGA Tour. There you are. There's your name on the leaderboard on the weekend. Siwoo, there's Joel Damon back in the field. I mean, I'm just kind of going down. Fitzpatrick was T9th back in 2021. Xander, really, he had the T2 back in 18. Top 20 last year. He's missed a cut three times in there.
I cannot believe you haven't brought your boy up.
My boy?
Down under Davis. Come on.
Yeah.
Great week last week. Good top 10 here last year.
We're getting there. Was he at 100 right now? Is he 101? Yeah. Yeah, we're getting there.
I mean, what? I gotta go back to the course. Point, you know.
All right. So let's. Okay. So
you got a party tonight. Let's to get ready
for. No. Okay. So you brought him up. I mean, yeah. he was 18th last week. Fair enough. You know. Irons, man, it's like it's hit or miss with the irons right now. It's either great or it's really bad. I don't know. Is his short game good enough to win the Players Championship?
No. But neither was Craig Perks, and the guy showed up. You know. You know.
I mean, are we away from the way that the Players is now? Back in March.
Yeah.
The way it's going to be set up. You spoke to the winners that we've had the last 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, are we away from the Fred Funks who's the short long putter?
Oh, Tim Clark.
Tim Clark.
Yeah.
You know, are those thing of the past?
Man, I used to think so. But what did we start?
And I love Fred Funk. He's a longtime student of mine. I mean, that was phenomenal when Fred Funk won.
8 weeks with bombs, you know, other than 7 of 8 if you don't count Jake Knapp being a bomb, you know. Maybe it's just that kind of year.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not betting any of these guys, but the two guys that caught my eye at that 100 range,
right?
Cam was one.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And then the other one, he has always been a great ball striker. Won twice now. He won last year at Colonial, right? But he's putting it unbelievable. That's Emiliano Grillo.
Okay.
Like, those are two guys that are down there at 100-1 that I can see both those guys kind of doing it.
Yeah.
I could see it, you know, like – they're not going to earn my units this week, but like for placement cards and stuff like that and DFS, I mean, these are people that should be in our conversation on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. At least let people do what they want to do with their 100-something bombs, you know? I mean, heck, Adam Scott's down there at 100-1.
Wow.
You know, if you think he's going to have a bounce back on the 20th anniversary of his win. He loves this golf course.
Yeah, he does. You know? He does.
But –
gosh, that feels like a lifetime ago when he won. All right. Okay. So let me, I'll throw one more name at you down here.
All right.
We'll finish with this.
Okay.
And
what do you got?
He's 125-1.
Ooh.
And,
where are we shopping?
He's a guy that lives here, has. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to pull the Jim Furyk vibes.
Right.
Local guy. Freddie Funk got it done. When he won, was he 48 years old? And then we fast forward and there's Jim Furyk, he's going to win, and Rory takes it from him, right? And and everybody's pulling for the local guy, Jim Furyk.
Sam the Eagle.
We love Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the local, and there's a lot of locals here now. There's a lot of tour players who live here.
Yeah.
The local guy this week, okay, he's coming in. He's playing good. He was top 10 at down in Palm Beach. You know, and he doesn't have great vibes here at TPC, but neither did Jim. Billy Horschel.
Interesting.
Just maybe we go back to the local vibes. Billy hits it like he did down in West Palm, but he goes positive four putter.
Which he could. He's a good putter.
Yeah, and the mojo picks him up and you know, pushes him forward, and he gets a break here. And, you know,
I mean, much like Rory at Augusta, he's said many times, I want to win in my home state of Florida.
Yeah.
And I mean, what better win in the home state of Florida?
It just feels like, you know, I kind of got goosebumps a little bit. Like, I feel it might happen. I'm going to bet it.
It's cold in here, folks.
I'm gonna bet it.
Turn the heat
125,
on.
Billy Horschel.
Yeah, you're not getting me there. But
it's the local vibes. I got to represent. This is where I live.
No, go for it, man.
This is where I live. Billy
DVD,
Ho.
Baby.
It'd be
get a sticker for the car.
All right. Any final parting words here? I think I asked you. Oh, we got to finish with this.
What?
We're all in town. Last thing. We're all in town.
Okay.
Best players are here.
Okay.
You're going to dinner Wednesday night. Who's going with you? Top three players. Who's going with you?
Oh.
Who's going? I'll text them right now.
Three guys I get to take to dinner.
I'll text them. I'm going to say, hey, will you go to dinner with my friend Keith Stewart?
I mean, after that press conference, I've heard all I need to hear from Jay.
No, so not you're not taking him. Jay.
No,
you're not taking Jay. You get mad at
okay.
you.
Okay. Well, we've talked about two of these three guys I'm going to pick.
Okay.
I'm thinking about this now.
Let me guess.
I'm delaying. Okay, you guess.
Now, your boy. I mean, I know Cantley's one of them. It's your boy. No,
I don't. I'm not taking three guys that I want to split the tab with. All right, you know, like, come on.
Sorry, go ahead. That was a joke.
He probably wears the hat to dinner and not at the Ryder Cup.
He probably wears his spikes to dinner.
Speaking of which,
with his glove,
that was a huge story last week. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that? after 12 years of wearing the same 800-pound FootJoy boa crank jobbers, right? Mm-hmm. He wore Adidas 360s last week. Ooh, tore 360s. Wow. He changed his shoe. And he hadn't, I mean, you want breaking news? He still has a FootJoy contract.
Wow.
He had, Patrick Cantley wore new shoes last week. And you know what it did for him? Pretty much like DFL of the favorites.
Yeah, well, at least he figured his driver out a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
His driver's been a problem. At least he's figured that out.
I don't know.
He's got some work to do, though. But Cantley's not, he's not.
I would go for an entertaining dinner.
Okay, let's see it. Who is it?
So I'm going to take a young guy. And I think it would be cool. He just moved from Stillwater to Jupiter. He'd have a lot of coaching talk, but we're not going to go there. I would take Victor.
I don't want to talk about the golf swing into nth degree.
No, I want to talk about this guy single. He just moved down to Jupiter, Florida, and he's Jupe life in it.
All right, that surprises
Victor Hovland.
Okay,
Victor Hovland. I think he would be fun. All right, number two. One of my favorite guys out there to listen to and to talk to, and I think it would have a lot of interesting things and would be well-read and would be a good guy to have a conversation with at dinner, Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Jordan. And then the last guy that we talked about that I'm probably going to bet, everybody, it would be a toss-up. Everybody says that Sungjae and Siwoo are like two of the best dudes. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with Siwoo since it's Players Week and he's a past champion. So I figure like wherever we go, like that guy's got it, you know, he's taking care of us. We're getting VIP seating. And I just think he'd be, I saw him at the President's Cup a couple years ago there in Charlotte and everybody on both teams just wanted to be near that guy. And that's the type of person that I'd want to go have dinner with.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Tons of fun.
That's good. That's impressive. I think I'm taking Sahith.
Oh yeah,
I see it. I'm thinking, and then I think I'm, Joel Damon. We're from the same part of the country, he's good people. I mean, he's fun.
Yeah.
And so I got to have Joel there, and then the third one.
But Joel's not in the field.
I think I'm. Yeah, he is. Yeah, Joel Damon's in the field. Yeah, he's here. He is right now. I just saw him. Where'd he go?
Who's in his group?
I just saw him. Maybe I didn't see him. Maybe I'm seeing things. Am I seeing things?
I mean,
No, he's here. Maybe he's not. Now I'm scrolling back up and I can't find him. All right. Well, I'll call him. We'll get him here. I'll fly him in tonight. So we have, and then I'm probably going to go Fleetwood.
Fleetwood is a very, very nice
man. I love Fleetwood.
Very nice man.
Yeah. He's just nice people. And Lowry. I mean, I'll one more seat for Lowry.
I mean, it's your table, man.
Yeah.
Just pull a chair over.
I mean, I'll just stand up. Those four can sit, and then I'll stand up and listen.
But you're tall, though. You're tall. You stand over the table.
I'll bring my own chair.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
All right. Good stuff. Right. Hey, thanks for being here. I know you're busy. He's got to head back to TPC. Hey, congratulations on Golf Digest, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You're going to be seeing more of his stuff on Golf Digest coming up. He's going to be their main guy in all handicapping, men and women, right?
We'll get there.
Okay. Yes.
Right. We'll get there.
Well, anyway, you're going to be seeing his face more.
It won't be between now and the Masters, I think, but definitely majors for women in 2024. But, it's exciting because this is the first like big golf institutional media
really embracing
company that's leaning into golf betting. And, I'm super proud of them and the leadership there for doing that. And even if they didn't pick me, at least they're doing something that I love with a lot of passion.
Yeah. And you're good at it. And they're doing it the right way instead of just saying, hey, let's just throw a former tour player up there and have them pick a few names.
Yeah. But I mean, you think of your golf channels, golf.coms and all of them. Yeah. Nobody's really said we're doing this.
Right.
And they're the first ones to do it. So, I couldn't be prouder. Thank you. And, this is always carved out Tuesdays.
That's right, baby.
Noon or one, so, depending on we are.
We'll be back tomorrow or back next Tuesday, Valspar.
Valspar, bring your paint can.
Are you going?
No.
You're going to go home. All right.
No, I'm going to go home for a couple weeks and then Magnolia Lane. That's all right. Next.
Good stuff. Thanks for being here. See you next week.